Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos. And we are just having the most energizing conversation with Robert Zimmerman, who is a Democratic National Committeeman and brings to us and is willing to share with us all the knowledge that he has attained over the years of doing this. And the
let me just say, it's energizing, but I'm with between Otto and John. You're like the Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper on New Year's Eve. The two of you are so energizing. You keep it moving fast.
It's amazing when it moves. But actually, and I'm going to throw a Christina accolade out here, a compliment. Since pandemic, and I'm not saying before it wasn't moving, but during the corona, it has been wonderful. I mean, the guests that are coming on, and one thing is very serious. And I know, Rob, you're always available, but Zoom has made it easier. For sure. People, I say, you know, I got to drive in from Manhattan. It's an hour to get there, an hour to get home. They're not going to go for it. Yeah. I can call you up 5 minutes before and you're on your Zoom. And it really has helped us out.
Much of the TV that I do now, in fact, all of it is really by Zoom or by Skype or that type of thing. And and they call you at 6 a.m. Are you available at 7? You know, you have to really, but it makes it a lot easier.
100%. It really is. I'm fooling around. I was talking to somebody before I came on today. You get dressed in 1, 2, 3, no matter what you know, like even in you, they call you last minute, yeah. No matter what you're doing in the house, you put on a sports shirt. If you have to put on a tie, you put on a tie, you sit down and you do your interview for a half
hour. For the record, I'm wearing pants. Okay.
I didn't want to go there, Robert, but since you're sharing, I'm not. No, I'm kidding. At the break, we were talking about the numbers that are coming in so far. Voting wise, Dan, the producer, offered a number of 70 some odd million, which is amazing. And you had said it earlier, Robert. What do you think that is then going to be doing for the actual election day this year? That nobody will be coming out because everybody will be finished, or we're going to have wonderful, wonderful, huge numbers?
I think we're on our way to a record unprecedented turnout. I think you're going to see, certainly true, people who would normally vote on election day chose to vote by early voting. People like myself who normally go to the polls on election day and love that experience, I voted by absentee ballot because of COVID. My dad, who's 98, who loves to, I remember my first experience, he took me to the voting booth and I pressed the lever for Lyndon Johnson over Barry Goldwater. I was just an infant, but it stayed in my mind. It was such a visual, exciting moment. And he voted by absentee ballot for the first time in his life for safety for COVID. So you have many traditional voters voting in other ways. But I think what we're leading up to, though, is a record turnout. We may not have as busy election day as normal, but I think when all is said and done and the numbers are counted, you're going to have a record turnout. And I think galvanized and mobilized by young people, new voters, and I think a really unparalleled vote amongst communities that have felt disenfranchised, like the Black and Brown communities. So I think it's going to be an exciting election night.
What about seniors?
Well, it's interesting.
Do you think the seniors are going to be like we talked about Florida a little bit earlier in the show? Do you see a lot of seniors switching? I mean, especially when you're talking healthcare, when you're talking Social Security, you're talking some of the things that are being discussed in this administration. It's definitely impacting seniors in my mind. I mean, I don't understand any doubt in a senior's mind.
Just to your point. And I know everyone says the polls are always wrong. Well, the polls were wrong by a few percent in 2016. And as a rule of thumb, as a guide for people who are watching, I assume if Joe Biden is not winning a state by over 5%, he'll probably lose it. So I look at these close states and I don't know that I'm not assuming he's going to win them. Remember, polls are not predictors, they're indicators of where you are. And so if you look at what is called the hidden Trump vote, that is not often recorded, or the margin of error, I think Joe Biden's got to be above 5% comfortably to feel he's going to win a state. And right now he's running comfortably ahead in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. And even though Arizona's tied up, he's still doing well there. Pennsylvania, Florida's a toss-up, Texas is a toss-up, Georgia's a toss-up, and North Carolina. And if you doubt me, just watch where the candidates are going. The fact that Donald Trump felt he had to go to Nebraska, which should be an automatic state for him, or go to Georgia, which should be a guarantee, or North Carolina, he's seeing the same polling we are, which shows he's in trouble in these safe Republican states. Which brings me to your question about seniors. In every poll that's been produced consistently now for a month, you look at polls over time, not at one moment, over a time period. Even the final Fox News to CNN and Wall Street Journal, MSNBC NBC polls, you're seeing he is hurting badly amongst senior citizens. He may win them, but his numbers are down dramatically from what was a reliable Republican vote, a big vote for him. In fact, in Florida, Biden's beating him. And I think some of it's driven by their concern about Donald Trump acknowledging that he lied to the American people about the pandemic when he did in the Bob Woodward tapes. And fact check that if you're listening to me, where he just said he did not disclose the facts of it and did not disclose how dangerous it was when he was informed of it. And he told Woodward that on tape. The fact that he is in court and very publicly said he wants to abolish the Affordable Care Act, which means abolishing pre-existing condition coverage. According to the Pew Center, 45% of American households have at least one person living there with a pre-existing condition, asthma, diabetes, a form of cancer, heart condition, whatever it may be. And the fact that Donald Trump and the Republicans, it's all of them together, have not produced an alternative. How are they going to protect pre-existing condition coverage? What is their alternative to the Affordable Care Act? They've shown nothing, zero, I think has undermined him dramatically with senior citizens. So in that respect, I think you're seeing a very significant pickup for Joe Biden and a very significant respect for what I see as the normalcy, the balance he's representing, the fact that he's speaking to mainstream values. So I think for Joe Biden, this is a real significant voting block you've honed in on. I think they'll stand with him on election day.
Good.
Point is, though, making sure our votes are counted after election day.
You just mentioned, I'm sorry again, John.
Go, Otto, you go.
In preparing for this show, I Googled how to register to vote. And that's what I Googled. And I ended up with a thing, Democracy Works. And on that, for New York State, I was able to check my registration status that I was valid. And also there's a thing there where you can check your ballot status, which mm-hmm. I found interesting. If people are concerned about their vote and or whether they are registered to vote, they can go on that site in New York State.
Great.
And find that out. And I think that's very valuable. It should give you kind of a feeling of security that they actually do know that you're registered to vote and that they do know where your ballot is and what the status is.
My concern, though, Otto?
It was called, I just went on Google, said how to register to vote, and I ended up on Democracy Works. And on that, which was connected with New York State, were these choices that were lookups that you could make. There were other things like, if you wanted to request an absentee ballot or whatever, which is a little too late for that. But I found those two things very, very interesting. The fact that someone actually confirmed before election day, before they get into trouble and not be able to vote, make sure that they are registered to vote and that they don't have a problem when the voting time comes.
By the way, I have to say to both of you, that's so important. I hope people take advantage of it. But my greatest worry is making sure the votes are counted after election day. Now, in every election, there are court challenges about whether the absentee ballot was filled out correctly, were the votes tabulated correctly. That's part of our democracy. It takes place, and that's the territory, and that's as it should be. And if there are challenges, they go to court. But we're seeing a different legal strategy pursued, an unprecedented one, where we're seeing Donald Trump and the Republicans going to court to block access to absentee ballots, try to limit when they can be counted. In other words, they could be postmarked by election day, but maybe because of the mail system, they arrive after election day. And the Trump and the Republican National Committee and Trump are trying to block that vote from being counted. And what worries me, we have to keep on our guard and keep talking to our members of Congress. when the president goes to the Supreme Court, which is, he said this in the debate, he's going to go to the Supreme Court and try to disqualify many legal absentee ballots that are being cast in the battleground states to try to win this election in the courts, because he won't win the election on the ballot box. And we have to make sure, if we're going to preserve our democracy and preserve our Constitution, that every vote is counted, and to make sure that the voices of the voters are heard in this election.
Totally in agreement there. It's just, and I do have one quick question, because we're going to be running out of time. For argument's sake, just say it's 60-40, mm-hmm. Robert, on election night with votes that have come in, you know, mm-hmm. via the polls. Do they still count the mail-ins, or if it's not
always
necessary?
Always, because when you're voting by mail-in, you're not just voting for president, you're voting for Congress, senator in some states, assembly, all range of local offices. So you have to count every ballot.
Okay, I'm just thinking.
And we've got to make sure every ballot is counted. That's the chat. And that's what's so concerning to me, is seeing the president try to use his new pick for the Supreme Court, now Justice Barrett, to be his proxy to, in fact, deprive the voters from being counted, and staging really in many ways a judicial coup by blocking our constitutional process from being exercised. So that's what we have to keep a close eye on. And what we have to make sure of is that everyone who is listening, I guarantee you, each one of you's got a friend who hasn't filled out their absentee ballot yet, or hasn't made a plan to vote yet, or you've got a relative or a grandchild who hasn't voted yet. Get on the phone. I don't care what party you're in. Get on the phone, go call them, Zoom, Skype with them. Make sure they come out to vote, because our democracy only survives by your participation. Our Constitution only survives by your participation. So much has been sacrificed to give us this opportunity. And if we don't treasure it, we don't hold it dear, we'll lose it. So please, if you're listening, if you've already voted, great, but guarantee you, trust me on this, you've got a member of your family or a friend who hasn't voted yet. Make sure they vote.
And the real significance of that, and Robert's going to be able to confirm it more than I, is all the little things that are happening in Washington, the sign-ons that we don't even pay attention to. I sent you something the other day in reference to the civil unions that are being broken up in Washington. Yesterday, I read that Trump signed on with 32 other countries an anti-abortion pact. Now, the countries were Sudan and countries, you've heard of them, but we as a nation signed on for anti-abortion with 32 countries in the world. And it was announced yesterday, a little blurb. I didn't even know something like this even existed. No major country. You didn't get anybody in Europe signing on. That's but right. He's got 32 other people that all these little subtle things that are going undetected.
What this president has done by executive order. Which has violated the rights of women, their legal and health rights. What he's done to violate the rights and the freedoms of the members of the LGBTQ community, our fellow citizens, and blocking their rights to adopt children. What he's done to disqualify so many environmental safeguards that we've held dear to protect our water and our air. What he's done, in fact, to compromise the right of workers and labor unions. We all have to be mindful of that. And the notion that we can just sort of talk it out and we can sort of bring him together and work it through with him is a fraud.
Right.
He has no interest in finding common ground. He has no interest in seeing the light. So we've got to make sure that his party feels the heat. And we've got to make sure that then, with the American people speak clearly and strongly, a lot of these politicians will sit on the fence and try to duck the issues or call themselves problem solvers when they're really just trying to just protect themselves. We got to make sure that those folks who aren't prepared to stand up, when they see our votes, they'll stand up. And when they see, and that's really what it's about. By standing up with our voice and our vote, we're going to force our government to stand up for us as well.
A perfect way to end it. Robert, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and so does Otto and Christina for coming on today. This week was phenomenal.
I'm thrilled to be with the Anderson Cooper and the Andy Cohen of Town of North Hempstead Broadcasting Media. You guys are energizing and empowering. And Christina, to you and Dan, thank you so much for the work you do putting this broadcast together. I just am so proud to be part of it. Thank you very much.
We've been listening to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. Thank you, Robert, very much, and we'll be right back.